Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The crew is back together at long last live right here on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. It has been 2 weeks, Joe Lisi, since we have last spoken, but that is what we find here today. I'm Ben Stevens. He's the mastermind of the pigskin. It is Joe Lisi. Joe, it's been so long since we last were on this radio show together on FFC that we are now in the offseason in the National Football League. That's how long it's been, Joe. We don't have any actual NFL football games to break down, although I'm sure we'll discuss a little XFL action from their opening weekend as well on today's show.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe we're back together. I mean, I think we were on air, but I don't even know if we covered the Super Bowl in depth. I can't even remember the last show that you and I had, but unbelievable performance by Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City in the Super Bowl. We're in the long off season. We talk about draft position, potential trades, quarterbacks on the move. That's what's going to really, I want to say, take the NFL in terms of the next 2 or 3 months leading up to the NFL draft. And quarterbacks, it seems like the same names, right? Where is Aaron Rodgers potentially going to go? And is Justin Fields on the move or isn't he for the Chicago Bears? Those are the main storylines heading into this week and heading into the month of March now.
Certainly, Lisi, as you look at the big events on the NFL timeline, because as we know, in the National Football League, which is still the king in terms of American sports, there really is not an offseason any longer. There are so many events that highlight the calendar. Next up, at least in terms of actually seeing players that we know from the college ranks on the gridiron, it will be the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis starting in just a few days or a few weeks here as we get things going in early March. Then from there, in late April, it's the 2023 NFL Draft in Kansas City, and then we'll go through OTAs and rookie minicamps and have all of those discussions. But right now, Joe, we're in the offseason in the National Football League. The coaching carousel in terms of the 5 head coaching vacancies has now come to a close. Jonathan Gannon introduced as the Arizona Cardinals head coach late last week. He was the 5th and final hire, the 2 coordinators for Philadelphia. Gannon, the defensive coordinator for the Birds, who, of course, won the NFC Championship. And the offensive coordinator, Shane Steichen, now the head coach in Indianapolis. But, Joe, that does not mean the coordinator carousel has stopped turning, and very soon that quarterback carousel is going to continue as well. Let's focus on a few of the coordinators here, Lisi, because the big news over the weekend, Eric Bieniemy, now named the offensive coordinator and assistant head coach in Washington for that Commanders franchise. Lisi, it's an interesting move because as you look at corporate structure, it's a lateral move. He's an offensive coordinator to an offensive coordinator. Yes, the designation now as the assistant head coach. There were many, Joe Lisi, I believe wrongfully, but there were many around NFL circles that looked at Eric Bieniemy and the job he has done in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes under Andy Reid and said, yeah, he was set up for success. That's why he hasn't been a head coach, because people look at what he has done offensively and think he's working with one of the greatest quarterbacks to maybe ever play the game in Patrick Mahomes now with his second Super Bowl ring under Andy Reid as well. Andy Reid's the true schematics offensive mastermind, and Patrick Mahomes is one of the best quarterbacks we have ever seen on a gridiron. You can't really credit Eric Bieniemy with that. I think it's wrong, Joe. I don't think it's the right conjecture. But now Eric Bieniemy, Joe, seems like he is making that move to Washington with something else to prove. What do you make of the hire by Washington and what it means for Bieniemy's career?
Well, I think it's a great hire for Ron Rivera and the Washington offense. I mean, they were inconsistent at times with their quarterbacks. Carson Wentz and Taylor Heineke really didn't have, I want to say, an offensive identity. And now you bring Eric Bieniemy to that team with a young quarterback in Sam Howell. Hopefully he can coach them up. But you got to believe that even a part of the success of Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, whether it be Reed maintaining the schematics, was still due in part to Eric Bieniemy calling the plays and putting those players in a position to put up points. And at the end of the day, I feel like he is the one guy that has to go through so much scrutiny to prove his net worth in the NFL as opposed to other offensive coordinators or other coordinators that haven't had half the success. And I think people forget that, you know, when Eric Bieniemy was the running backs coach with Minnesota back in the day, he coached up Adrian Peterson to be in one of the best in the NFL and potentially during that time span. So he can coach up offensive talent. He's a former running back, a standout at Colorado. And I think he deserves to be a head coach. Now, you know, let's say Washington takes off from an offensive perspective but limps to a sub-500 record. I think Ron Rivera could potentially be out, but maybe Eric Bieniemy could be the coach in waiting for the Washington Commanders.
And that might be the idea, Joe, right? That if he can go to Washington, replicate even a glimpse of the success that he has seen in Kansas City, that now Eric Bieniemy, although I don't believe he has a burden left to prove, despite the fact clearly he does in the minds of folks around the National Football League, that then Eric Bieniemy has crafted his own way, and then he can be a head coach. If Eric Bieniemy had what I think, Joe, was the right course here in the National Football League, he already would be a head coach, but that is not the case at this moment. Eric Bieniemy, Joe, as it goes to his own pedigree, is credited with the idea that in Super Bowl 57, he was the one to spot the Eagles struggle defensively with how they would transition if you fake motioned a person into that formation, which led to the touchdowns of Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney, the big difference makers in the second half. More FFC. We continue this conversation next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live right here on FFC Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network in Sirius XM Channel 159. We continue to dive through the coordinator carousel, Joe, in the National Football League. We were focusing on the big news over the weekend. The Washington Commanders have hired former now offensive coordinator for Kansas City, the two-time Super Bowl champion Eric Bieniemy, to be their new OC in the nation's capital and the assistant head coach. Joe, I think the situation is interesting for Bieniemy because you could argue he's set up for failure. If he does not live up to the expectation that he saw and the success that he saw with the Chiefs, and he does not have the same resources that he certainly had in KC, people will say, see, we told you Eric Bieniemy is not cut out at the top level of this sport to truly be a head coach. And let's call a spade, Joe. 3 years with Ron Rivera as the head man for the Washington organization. In that time, Joe, they have ranked as the sixth worst scoring offense in the National Football League, averaging less than 20 points per game. The quarterback most likely that Eric Bieniemy will have to work with, at least on the roster at the moment, Joe, is going to be the second-year pro Sam Howell out of North Carolina. That is not the recipe for success that he had in Kansas City, and some people would argue, well, it's because of what he had in KC that he needs to prove it in Washington. Joe, what do you make of the pieces that Eric Bieniemy will have at his disposal to hopefully find some success with that Commanders offense?
Oh, I like the pieces that he has. And I think the bad piece was Carson Wentz last year in terms of that offense to start, right? I think when you look at the wide receiver position, Terry McLaurin, one of the most productive, I believe, in terms of the conference, NFC East. And at the end of the day, Jahan Dotson proved that he's a potential, at least last year, rookie of the year candidate. The ability to stretch defenses, the explosive plays with the dynamic 1-2 punch. You sprinkle in a little Logan Thomas that I believe they didn't use enough coming back from the ACL injury. I think they could have an explosive offense. And look at the rushing attack led by Brian Robinson. I mean, Brian Robinson was a very productive back and got more acclimated in terms of the offense as the season progressed. He was a bell cow for that offense, proved that he could carry the rock 15 to 20 times per game. So I think they should have no problem putting up points this year and potentially maybe averaging 24, 25 points per game, which in the NFC East is not bad and can definitely get you to a 10-win season.
Right, and it will be interesting, Joe, to judge offensive success and what the numbers look like for Washington this year versus overall team success. Of course, three of the four teams from the NFC East Division did make the playoffs this year. Washington had a shot at making it a perfect 4-for-4 into the final weeks of this 2022 NFL regular season. Of course, Philadelphia won the division, won the conference overall. Dallas was a 12-win football team. There was a lot of competition in the NFC East. Joe, I just hope that Eric Bieniemy is given that benefit of the doubt that I think he has earned and accrued throughout his NFL career as a coordinator. This is not used as a spot to judge the overall body of his work because he has been successful. Again, Joe, I said it right before we hit the break. If you talk to anybody in the Chiefs organization, it was Eric Bieniemy's watchful eye and offensive mind that caught the Eagles struggling at times to deal with pre-snap motion in their opponent's offensive scheme. And when you fake that motion, it leads to the Eagles being a little bit lost in how they transition in their defense. They saw it in a game earlier in the regular season for Philadelphia against Jacksonville. One play that led to a Jalen Agnew touchdown. Bieniemy spotted that and then obviously was the orchestrator, Joe, behind those two second half touchdowns. First to Kadarius Toney when he was wide open and the same on the opposite side of the field to the rookie Sky Moore out of Western Michigan for Kansas City when they scored on all four of their second half offensive possessions. So, Joe, I do believe that Eric Bieniemy is that bright offensive mind that should be a successful offensive coordinator and ultimately, I think, a head coach in the National Football League.
I agree. And why he hasn't gotten a head coaching opportunity is really mind-boggling. And I understand the Andy Reid factor and the Patrick Mahomes factor, but we've seen other offensive coordinators go and be signed and even head coaches as well. Here's the thing, too. I mean, Eric Bieniemy's been in the league and has had success in every place that he went. So I don't understand it. You know, it just seems like there's like an X factor where Eric Bieniemy, like teams don't want him for some reason and they want to just throw it on the Andy Reid factor or the fact that right. Kansas City was in the playoffs. I know that we had cap on in terms of Pro Football Full Circle, and that was something that he threw out. Oh, the playoff run, he never has an opportunity to interview. But then you look at Frank Reich and other guys that were in Super Bowl runs, and they got head coaching jobs with Super Bowl teams. So look at Gannon and Steichen with Philadelphia, right? So why are they offered jobs, but Eric Bieniemy wasn't? Just doesn't make sense.
I mean, Joe, when you look at it right now for Eric Bieniemy, there are some that point to the fact he's a bad interviewer. Eh? Well, he went to Washington and was pretty quickly hired to be their offensive coordinator. Joe, let's call a spade the NFL itself. This is not my conjecture or my opinion or Joe's perspective on it. The NFL itself, its commissioner Roger Goodell, has explicitly said over the past few years, the National Football League has an issue when it comes to hiring minority candidates in its coaching searches. That's why the Rooney Rule is in place. That's why it had to be amended because NFL organizations tried to find loopholes in it. It is an issue the NFL itself, the own organization that is in charge of these hiring practices, have had issue with diversity in the hiring of minority candidates for these top-level head coaching jobs. That is a certain reason that Eric Bieniemy, Joe, in my estimation, has not been hired as a head coach in the National Football League. Speaking of the coordinator carousel, Joe, some defensive minds maybe making their way back into the National Football League, or at least back to the Mile High City. Both Vance Joseph, the former head coach of the Denver Broncos, and Rex Ryan, former head coach of the Jets, the Bills, a longtime defensive coordinator in the league, and now working as an analyst for ESPN, Joe. Both of those guys interviewed with the Denver Broncos organization over the weekend for their vacant defensive coordinator position. Joe, let's start with Sexy Rexy. Rex Ryan and what he would bring to that defensive coordinator spot for Sean Payton's new staff with the Broncos. What is your reaction, Joe? Do you think Rex Ryan would be a good hire for the Broncos?
Yes and no. I think from a scheme perspective and maintaining the consistency of the defense, yes. Would he be a detriment because if Russell Wilson fails with Sean Payton and having a former head coach there that's not afraid to voice his opinion and seeing how that team imploded last year in terms of inwardly from the teammate perspective, I think it's a bad hire. I would go with Vance Joseph, which seems more of a corporate guy. He's not going to voice his opinion as much. Not as outspoken, and I think that's where Sean Payton would go. Great defensive coordinator. Again, I just think you have to look big picture. If Sean Payton wants to take this team to the promised land, he really needs to segregate himself from Russell Wilson because the teammates didn't love him. You know, that is the biggest thing. If Rex Ryan, let's say, has a defense that's holding opposing offenses to 13 points per game and Russell Wilson all of a sudden duplicates last year, you don't think Rex Ryan's going to speak out and say, the quarterback sucks? That, I mean, can I bet on that right here, right now?
Minus 5,000. You're going to have to lay some juice, Joe.
Right? Am I wrong? So that's why I think he would be a bad hire.
Listen, that is the persona of Rex Ryan. He has been in media now for the last few years. He's been out of the National Football League. Maybe that's even been further stoked, Joe, because he's been a takes artist the last couple of years on all his appearances for ESPN. He is outspoken. That is part of the personality when you hire Rex Ryan. It's what makes him work, though, at the same time, right, Joe? You can't have one without the other. Now, I will just say this. You mentioned Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. It is a win-now mentality in the Mile High City. There is no grace period for Russell Wilson to figure this out. There is no grace period for this team to not have success, Joe, to not contend for a postseason spot. And that continues with the defense. We'll continue this conversation up next, live right here on Sports Grid Radio on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live on the Sports Grid Radio Network, it's Ben Stevens and Joe Lisi back together for the first time in nearly 14 days. Joe, it feels way too long, but glad to be back with you here, breaking down some of what we are seeing now in the coaching carousel in this NFL offseason. Joe, we were discussing that defensive coordinator role for the Denver Broncos. Vacant right now, the Broncos interviewed both Vance Joseph, their former head coach, and Rex Ryan, the ESPN analyst and former longtime NFL coach, for that vacant DC spot. Now, Joe, when you look at the pieces that Denver has, in 2021, under the defensive-minded genius that is Vic Fangio, the Broncos were the second-best scoring defense in the National Football League, a top-10 total defense as well. Through the first 13 weeks, Joe, of the NFL regular season in 2022, they allowed 17 points per game, were a top-3 scoring defensive unit before, obviously, the season really came to a close, Joe, in the final 5 weeks. The defense struggled. They had injuries. It didn't really matter anymore in the Mile High City. Joe, all of this to say, the Broncos have a ton of pieces defensively to have success, and they will need to have success early, certainly on that side of the football, to help Sean Payton hopefully bring back the Russell Wilson that we knew from the Seattle Seahawks now in his second year with the Broncos. Because, Joe, ultimately, anybody associated with the Mile High City, with the Broncos organization, will tell you, hey, this is not a rookie head coach, because he's not, despite it being his first year in Denver with a young quarterback. That's certainly not the case with Russell Wilson and all the money certainly guaranteed they have paid Russ, to be in Denver. For us to have this grace period, hopefully we can be competitive, maybe win 5, 6, 7 games in the next. No. It's not that. It's contend for a playoff spot right here, right now, starting in 2023.
It is, and I agree with that 100%, that if Russell Wilson shows a hint of what he did last year, not knowing where he wants to go with the football, inconsistent, and the offense is erratic, I would pull him. I mean, you have to make a statement, and I think it starts from June camp. You know, when they get in there, Sean Payton really needs to send a message to Russell Wilson that we're not going to tolerate it anymore. Just the way Dable did with Daniel Jones, right? In terms of the game against Tennessee where he stepped up, got in his face. I think it's the same thing with Denver. The fact of the players don't believe in Russell Wilson anymore, even the wide receivers, Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton, they were crying for the football during games last year, and Russell Wilson could not get it to them. So at the end of the day, their success, whether, and I mean success, like playoffs or bust, I mean, that really is where they're at. They can't be, you know, 9-8 on the outside looking in, oh, it's better than it was last year.
Right.
When you look at the salary cap, when you look at the head coach and what he's making, and let's not forget the teams that are in the conference outside of Las Vegas right now that seems to be in disarray, Herbert and Mahomes, they potentially have the fourth best quarterback in the division right now.
Absolutely so, Joe. I mean, we're not sure what the Raiders are going to do. You're right, but I mean, look, that is what Denver needs. Joe, they entered this past season. Let's not forget the perspective. They entered this past season $1.05 behind the Chiefs in the AFC West division to maybe knock the Chiefs off their perch. Nope, didn't happen. KC wins the AFC West for a seventh consecutive season. They entered 2022, Joe, right alongside the Los Angeles Chargers for the third best price to win the conference crown, only behind the Chiefs and the Bills. That was the expectation for the Broncos, a team that, depending on when you bet their win total, was at 9.5 with the over heavily juiced or at a flat 10. This was supposed to be a double-digit win football team, Joe, that was favored to make the playoffs before the year got underway. That will be, I think, Joe, the expectation once again, maybe brought back down to earth a little bit based on the results of 2022 and all that Russell Wilson showed us, but that is going to be the expectation when you have Sean Payton as your head coach. So we'll see what it all means for Denver. All right, Joe, as we continue going around this coordinator carousel, speaking of the Eagles, who, of course, Jonathan Gannon, now hired as the Arizona Cardinals head coach, we are getting reports, Joe, from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, that former Wisconsin defensive coordinator Jim Leonard is being interviewed for that opening for the Eagles DC. Brian Johnson has been elevated to their offensive coordinator. He was the quarterback's coach and all-time Utah Utes QB great. And now they might be dipping back into the college game again, Joe, to look at Jim Leonard to take over the defensive reins of Nick Sirianni's ball club there in Philadelphia. Joe, Jim Leonard, it seemed, was the coach in waiting in Madison, that sooner or later, when Paul Chryst moved on, either when he was fired or whatever that might have been, Jim Leonard was going to be the guy. He was the interim head coach after Chryst was fired earlier in the 2022 college football season. Struggled a little bit at the helm as the head man, but still seemed like he was going to be the head coach before Wisconsin goes out, makes the big splash hire, and brings in Luke Fickell. And then it seemed Jim Leonard was going to leave Madison. And then it seemed like he might return to be the defensive coordinator for the Badgers. Now the all-time Wisconsin great, Joe, is looking for a new job. He has had interest in the National Football League before. There was a time where we thought Jim Leonard was going to be the DC of the Green Bay Packers before they hired Joe Barry. Now, Joe, maybe he looks at the Philadelphia Eagles. Do you think, Joe, Jim Leonard could have success moving up from the college ranks to the NFL?
I think he can, and I think it's important to recognize how much young talent is on that Philadelphia defense, right? Outside the playmakers like Fletcher Cox and Darius Slay, you have N'Kobe Dean, you have Jordan Davis, two of the top defensive players in terms of all of college football a couple of seasons ago. Now you bring in Jim Leonard. The biggest thing about Wisconsin and Jim Leonard is that he had one of the top five, top 10 statistical defenses in all of college football with, I want to say, what, 3- and 4-star talent, not 5-star talent. So now you're giving him a wealth of SEC speed and talent to work with. I think he'll do a fantastic job. I think one thing that Jim Leonard proved is that third down schemes, fantastic. He had one of the best third down defenses in terms of all of college football, right in the area of about 28% during his tenure at Wisconsin. They only gave up about $170, $160 passing yards per game. Granted, they didn't go through two elite offenses, but still, that was a dynamic effort, and they're opportunistic. So I think that that'll be a benefit for Philadelphia moving forward. The only thing that he has to learn, and he did play with the Buffalo Bills, is getting acclimated to the NFL style, a little bit different outside the recruiting aspect in terms of college football. You're dealing with professionals that it's more of a business as opposed to working within the program. But I think it's a fantastic hire if they go that route with the Philadelphia Eagles.
When you look at the past 5 years that Jim Leonard was only the defensive coordinator, of course, he started this sixth year under Paul Chryst as the DC before being elevated to that interim head coach in Madison. There were not many better defenses in all of college football, Joe, than Wisconsin over that stretch. A top five scoring and total defense in that span as well. That is how good Jim Leonard is at what he does. He did a lot with nothing, Joe, when he was a walk-on at Wisconsin, ended up becoming a three-time All-American and set Big Ten records year after year as a defensive back, making his way then to play in the National Football League. Jim Leonard is a great defensive coach, Joe. If Philly hires him, boy, I think it's fantastic and a great move out of Nick Sirianni because, again, he also has the NFL pedigree in his background and has garnered interest before, Joe, from the National Football League, ultimately turning them down to stay at Wisconsin, his proud alma mater. All right, Joe, as we continue going here, as we look at the National Football League offseason, again, it's not just the coaching carousel, head coaches, coordinators that are going to continue to spin. We're still a little bit less than a month away, Joe, from the official start of NFL free agency, except for one main piece in this offseason. Could be the first big domino to fall, certainly in the quarterback carousel. And, of course, his name is Derek Carr. Joe, as I'm sure you discussed on FFC late last week, he was released by the Raiders instead of having to pay his guaranteed $40.4 million salary for 2023, which would have gone into effect on February 15th. So Derek Carr now released, Joe, officially a free agent. You don't need to pay any compensation back to Las Vegas. You just need to pay Derek Carr what you believe he is worth. Over the weekend, Joe, he visited the New York Jets, the second team he has had a meeting with since he became a free agent, the first being the New Orleans Saints. So, Joe, we do a lot of things through the odds, right? There is no market, perhaps, for the next team Derek Carr plays for. But, Lisi, if you had to set the favorite right now for Derek Carr's most likely destination, where do you think he plays his NFL football in 2023?
Well, I don't think it'll be New York because I think New York will try to get Aaron Rodgers, right? That has to be the number one guy on their list. How about Tampa Bay? Because I think it's a pretty good fit for Derek Carr with Godwin and Evans in that lineup and obviously some of the younger wide receivers there. I think if Derek Carr goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they are immediately back to a playoff contender, best team in the division, and I think he can carry them over the hump. And I think it's a pretty good fit for his strengths in terms of what he could bring that offense to take over for Tom Brady. So I would say Tampa Bay 1, I would say New York Jets 2, and then outside of that, where could he go? I mean, Indy maybe, but I don't think that's a great fit in terms of new head coach. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's more of a run-heavy offense without perimeter speed outside of Michael Pittman.
I think the reason, Joe, the New York Jets are a potential exciting team for Derek Carr is because of all the success they had defensively this year in 2022. They felt like they were a quarterback away from truly being a playoff contender. And there are so many young pieces at the disposal offensively. Garrett Wilson, who was the rookie of the year on the offensive side of the football. Breece Hall, who might have been the rookie of the year had he stayed healthy all season for the New York Jets out of Iowa State. There's a lot to discuss as it pertains to Derek Carr. We'll do it next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back on FFC live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. The QB carousel will shortly spin in the National Football League offseason, Joe, and the first big domino that most likely is going to fall is Derek Carr. The reason being, after the Raiders released him, Joe, late last week, he officially became a free agent. Now, because of some bookkeeping, we won't get into all of that here. He is ready to sign and wherever. He doesn't necessarily, Joe, need to wait until the start, the official start of NFL free agency on March 15th. So he could be that first person to go, Joe, because he's the first person able to go. We mentioned a couple of the suitors that potentially are interested in Derek Carr. He's already held meetings with the Jets and the New Orleans Saints. Joe, the reason the Jets are exciting is because of all the young offensive pieces. Garrett Wilson won NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. His teammate Breece Hall was a front runner through the first half of the season before he was injured for the rest of the campaign. There's guys like Elijah Moore on that offense, Michael Carter as well. They are really a quarterback away, it seems, from becoming a true postseason contender. But Joe, I want to focus on the NFC South because he also had meetings with the New Orleans Saints. You could make an argument, Joe Lisi, that whatever team in the NFC South, if Derek Carr were to end up on their roster, they would become the favorite to win the division next season because all four teams in the NFC South have quarterback questions. How they choose to answer those questions might be a different story, whether it's a veteran or looking to add in the NFL draft, like the Carolina Panthers, who have a top 10 pick. The Atlanta Falcons obviously drafted Des Ridder in the third round of last year's NFL draft. The Bucs might already be targeting their successor for Tom Brady, in who was supposed to be his successor in New England, and Jimmy Garoppolo. But Joe, when you look at the NFC South, given how porous the division was as a whole last year, I think whatever team Derek Carr ends up on, Joe, especially if it's a team like the Saints, who have a lot of really good pieces defensively, and obviously Alvin Kamara and some others offensively, they become the front runner to win that division. That's what I think Derek Carr brings, truly, when you evaluate and potentially what he elevates his team around him.
Yeah, I think so, too. But that's why I think Tampa Bay is the best fit, because I think they have better offensive weapons. And with New Orleans, outside of Chris Olave, Taysom Hill, we don't know. Is he a hybrid tight end? Is he an RPO type of quarterback? How are they going to utilize him? What's the situation with Kamara now? Is he's definitely going to be suspended now with the video footage? He's indicted. Yeah. So I think that, yes, you're right. From a defensive perspective, New Orleans has the best defense of that group. From an offensive perspective, I think it's Tampa Bay, and can that defense bounce back to form to where they were the Super Bowl champions? If that's the case this year with Todd Bowles, then maybe he goes there. I mean, I'm just looking big picture. I think from an offensive perspective, it goes Tampa Bay, New Orleans, then I would say Carolina, and then Atlanta. I mean, it's a tough one because Carolina is so run heavy. You put Derek Carr in that offense, who's he throwing to potentially outside of DJ Moore? That is the main concern. Yeah. So, you know, with New Orleans, it's outside of Olave, they don't have speed. They have aging wide receivers, and I would be hesitant to go into that type of situation if I'm Derek Carr.
I think defensively, New Orleans is pretty solid. Obviously, that's Dennis Allen's pedigree as he returns for his second year as the head coach. He spent the last year, obviously, as the head coach as well. The six previous seasons before that, Joe, he was the defensive coordinator in the Big Easy under Sean Payton. And I love what Chris Olave does for that offense. There's no guarantee Michael Thomas ever plays again for the Saints. But I do think the Saints, Joe, with Derek Carr, become the front runner, the favorite to win the division this upcoming season. That is in part due to the fact the NFC South was terrible last year, and there's really no front runner heading into this season. But also, Joe, I just think Derek Carr, listen, you could argue where you rank Derek Carr in terms of the 32 NFL starting quarterbacks, yada, yada, yada. Is he top 15? Is he top half of the league? Would you put him in the bottom 10? Whatever it might be, Joe, I think Derek Carr, whatever team he goes to, is worth an additional win or potentially two, depending on the situation. Maybe I'm a little bit higher on Derek Carr than most, Joe, but I really do believe he elevates the rest of the roster and should be the biggest domino to fall this offseason when it comes to that quarterback spot.
Yeah, I think he definitely has a live arm. I mean, if he was the quarterback, and the biggest thing about Derek Carr is he proved that he was a leader when Brasaccia was the interim head coach. He took that team on. That team could have imploded when John Gruden got fired, and Derek Carr led them to a wild card appearance. They were 9 yards away from potentially unseating Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals in that matchup. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think last year he was a little inconsistent, showed glimpses, you know, first half half of football where they built big leads, and then obviously they squandered that. Was part of that due to McDaniels, or was part of that due to Derek Carr not playing four quarters of football? I think it's a little bit of both. So if he could bounce back to where he was a couple of years ago, where he was a leader, he was confident, he took the team on and said, you know what, we're going to take on everybody. I think he's one of the top quarterbacks, top 10 quarterback in the league. He had eight, I believe, 300-yard games 2 years ago. So at the end of the day, big play explosiveness is what he brings that offense. And you got to take the good, the bad, and the ugly as well. There's going to be some turnovers. It's just scoring more points more times than you turn the football over. I think he'll be just fine this year.
Joe, when you think about what he did in 2021, it's one of the reasons that the Raiders had optimism, obviously playing with his best friend in terms of Davante Adams and what he meant to that Raiders organization. It's the reason Derek Carr personally had a top 12 price, I believe it was, to win the NFL MVP entering this past year in 2022. He threw for over 4,800 yards, Joe, 2 seasons ago. So, yes, there is optimism for Derek Carr in my estimation. Joe, we're getting a lot of reports, of course, about some of the potential market movers, let's say, in terms of that quarterback position this NFL offseason. One of those names, of course, Joe, will be Daniel Jones. And there's been some reports from Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio that Daniel Jones and the Giants are very far off in terms of their negotiations right now. Entering this season, Joe, the New York Giants did not pick up Daniel Jones's fifth-year option on his rookie deal, which makes him a free agent this season. But after this season with Brian Daboll and all the success that Daniel Jones had, career highs in pretty much every single category outside of passing touchdowns and a career low in turnovers, specifically interceptions, he seems as though, Joe, he has done enough, that being Danny Dimes, to be New York's starter at quarterback at least next season. But I think the dollar has to make sense, right, Joe? The price needs to make sense for New York, for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, two guys that now one the general manager, the other the head coach, came together almost from Buffalo. They were not a part of the draft conversations. That was Dave Gettleman that drafted Daniel Jones in the top 10 a few years back. So, Joe, the money needs to make sense for New York to bring Daniel Jones back as their starting QB. Based on those reports, Joe, Daniel Jones thinks he is worth, and where the market is for quarterbacks, closer to $45 million, and the Giants have not offered anything even close, even remotely close, to that number. Joe, ultimately, do you think Daniel Jones is the day one starting quarterback for New York entering 2023?
This is a hard one, Ben, because I think the Giants are in a conundrum, and I brought this up with George last week. I'd say 60-40 to the yes, and the reason why I say that is last year, as much as Giant fans would love the season, right, over-exceeding expectations, this kills the situation with Daniel Jones, because based off of last year, Brian Daboll couldn't rebuild that team. He overexceeds so much that now the optimism is there where they can't regress from that, and part of that is due to Daniel Jones. Let me ask you this. I'll pose it a different way. If you ask Brian Daboll, who do you want, Daniel Jones, or would you take Bryce Young, what do you think he'd say? I think he'd say he'd take Bryce Young in a heartbeat. And that's not to take away from Daniel Jones. He's a mobile quarterback, but we know what comes to that. The problem with Daniel Jones is he had 300-yard games last year. Two came against the Vikings, right? He only had like 3 200-yard games. So, okay, is he like Jalen Hurts? I don't think so. I think Jalen Hurts proved he's a much better pocket passer. Now, the argument will be Darius Slayton, Hodgins, and Richie James were a majority of his wide receivers throughout the year. If you put A.J. Brown and you put Devontae Smith with Danny Dimes, you think he's putting up 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and 3,700 yards and rushing for 700 yards like Hurts? I mean, that is really the compliment. If you believe that, then you pay him the $45 million.
Yeah. It's a really good point, Joe, because one of the reasons Brian Daboll, at least in my mind, won NFL Coach of the Year, rightfully so, is because he did so much with not a lot. The Giants made very few acquisitions last offseason. They did not upgrade this roster. They might look to do that this offseason, and they have a lot of cap space to do just that. Now, with Joe Shane at the helm of the organization, entering his second and probably first full offseason at the command in New York. So, Joe, that's a good point. If you add even more pieces alongside Saquon Barkley, if you even decide to pay him, for Daniel Jones, does his level of play under the offensive mind that is Brian Daboll even go up and up? Because the utilization, Joe, of the legs is a part of it for DJ, no doubt about it. He ran for over 700 yards this year in the regular season. We saw what he did running for near 80 yards in that playoff victory on the road in Minneapolis. That is a part of what Daniel Jones adds to the quarterback position. Now, I'm not entirely sure, Joe, what market value would say about Daniel Jones. I think on behalf of the Giants, they would love that number to be closer to $30, $35 million. But the quarterback market is insane. Kirk Cousins had a guaranteed contract, Joe, this year of $38 million. $38 million guaranteed. So that's what Daniel Jones is looking at and saying, hey, I'm younger than Kirk. You don't need to make it all guaranteed. Give me this number in my yearly base salary. I understand it. Right, I understand it from that perspective of what the market value means and its dollars and cents outside of the, you know, football perspective of it all, Joe. But I think if you're Brian Daboll and you're Joe Shane, it's almost that catch-22, right, Joe? They're so good at their job, they made Daniel Jones have a career year. Is that a conversation they are currently having? Hey, Joe Shane's asking Brian Daboll, Joe, Brian, you think it's because of you, or you think you actually believe in Daniel Jones and he can continue to grow in your offensive scheme? It's that idea of, is Brian Daboll better off with an actually great quarterback that in his scheme, Joe, could become all-league type? Or is it making the most out of Daniel Jones, who might not be making the most of this offensive scheme for New York? That's the conversation, Joe, I think they're currently having right now. And I think they're weighing their other options if they decide to move on from Danny Dimes.
Yeah, and it's a great point, and they have to achieve greater success than what they had last year. That's why I said last year handcuffed them, because now you've attached your success to Daniel Jones. You can't regress, right? So now it's, okay, if we get wide receivers in there, can Daniel Jones take us to a potential NFC championship game? And I think it's similar to the situation with San Francisco had with Garoppolo. Is he could be good, but can he be elite? With the game on the line and 2 minutes down, are you believing in Daniel Jones to lead this team back? I think that's the biggest question as to whether he's the guy moving forward for the next 2 or 3 years. But I'll say this, they it's this year or bust. Like, if they don't sign him, and let's just say he's signed to a 1 or a 2 year deal, he better get them to the playoffs and yeah, another win to prove that he's the guy.
Absolutely so. Again, the value has to be met with success on the actual field. It's the conversation that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane and everybody in that Giants front office is having at this moment. If it don't make dollars, Joe, it don't make sense. And that's the idea of what New York has entering this offseason with a focus on their quarterback position. We end out football full circle on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live right here on FFC. A couple more minutes of today's show as we keep it rolling here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Joe, a lot of NFL offseason talk today. That's going to lead the way for us here on FFC now that we are in the offseason from the National Football League, from college football. But that doesn't mean, Joe Lisi, football stops. I anoint you always, Joe, the mastermind of the pigskin. You might be the king of the XFL. Opening weekend of action in the XFL. 4 games, 8 teams. Most spreads, Joe, around 3, 3.5, around that key number as they try to get familiar with this new product. 3 of the 4 games, Joe, go over their totals in the mid to upper 30s. How was your opening weekend, Joe Lisi, in the XFL?
Oh, fantastic. Three of the four games went over. And we had a couple of games, Ben, that went right down to the final play. I mean, it's amazing when you think about A.J. McCarron still rolling sevens for St. Louis. They were down 15-3, and he pulls the ball game out 18-15 in the last minute and 40 of the ball game. Yeah. I mean, he converted a 4th and 15. I mean, that's the beauty of the XFL and the USFL, respectively. Three-point conversions, things that are out of the norm of the NFL. And I said it before, nobody wants to watch 6-3 ball games heading into March Madness. Give me points aplenty every weekend, and I'll tune in every Saturday and Sunday.
Certainly so, Joe. The Arlington Renegades beat the Vegas Vipers in the opening game 22-20 on Saturday. The Houston Roughnecks take down the Orlando Guardians 33-12. That was the largest deficit. And then both games on Sunday, Joe, the Battle Hawks of St. Louis, the Fighting A.J. McCarrons, were down 15-3, Joe, under 2 minutes remaining. And because of that tiered extra point system and the 4th and 15 onside kick to retain possession, they came back to win 18-15 with about a minute and 45 left on the clock. Joe, like you mentioned, the DC Defenders storm back against Ben DiNucci in the Seattle Sea Dragons as well, winning outright as a 2.5-point underdog. Plenty more XFL talk all offseason long here on Football Full Circle. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Keep it locked for the Moneyline up next.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.